First of all, I want to say that this shiur is dedicated to the memory of a great Jew in our time, Harav Meir David ben Harav Yecheskel Shraga Kahana. Hashem Yinkom Damo. Today is the yahrzeit of Meir Kahana.
And
if there was anybody who was ahead of his time, he certainly was. And he has great schusim. One of the things that upsets me is when I read articles about Soviet Jewry, and he's left out. He was the one who started the movement for Soviet Jewry. They were forgotten, if not for Meir Kahana. And so many other things that he did. He knew the story. He knew the score. He knew the score. Hashem Yinkom Damo. That's number one. Kahana Sadak. Kahana was right.
He was right.
Okay.
My son was very close to Meir Kahana.
I have a great deal to say this morning. Do I say that every morning, every Tuesday morning?
Yes. But you're always right.
Yeah. I got a great deal to say. What we're going to be dealing with, as you will see, the parsha of the first great shidduch by Klal Yisrael. Eliezer, servant of Avram, is sent by Avram to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. All of Jewish history is riding on this mission. Eliezer carries upon his shoulders the eternity of Klal Yisrael. Not even the eternity. That it should start. That Jewish history should begin. It's a tremendous responsibility that he carries. In fact, first of all, he has to find a woman who is a proper shidduch for Yitzchak. And then he's got another problem. How will he ever convince her to leave her home, her birthplace, her parents' home? We're asking of this girl, whoever she is, to go off into the wild blue yonder without even having seen the chassid. And we're talking about a journey. Who knows how long of a journey? So he has a big, big responsibility. So in the... We're going to talk about all sorts of nuances, innuendos. You can keep learning this parasha time and time again, and then you find something new. But in great measure, in addition to what I have to say, I'm basing myself on the words of a sefer called Ma'at Min Ha'or, and this is, and this was written in great measure by Chanan Porat, and I, on your sheet it says that this shir is in memoriam to Chanan Porat, Zichreinu Livracha. Chanan Porat was in great measure the father of Yehuda B'Shomron. He was a tremendous, tremendous leader. He was a Talmud Chacham. He was a member of Knesset. He died just before Yom Kippur. Thousands were there. And he was a sensitive, poetic soul. Most probably there were others. In the left, they must have looked at him like some kind of a Meshuggah extremist. They most probably saw him like Meir Kahana, except they didn't know that both of them were extremely sensitive souls who had the well-being of Klal Yisrael uppermost in their minds and their hearts. But they don't get it. Chanan Porat, I knew him well. I would have wanted to be here in those years, the 70s, when he and a few others, him and Rabbi Moshe Levinger, Solange Yovin, and then I think it was also I think Zvulun Hanna of Ashkelon was also involved in the first group that came to Sebastia. They're going to set up a yeshiva over there. And now 300,000 people are living in Yehuda v'Shomron. An awesome accomplishment. He was a great person. In the Shir, we're also going to become the beginnings of an acquaintanceship with one of the most outstanding Svachim that has been written in the last few hundred years. It's called the Mesilat Yesharim. The Mesilat Yesharim was written by Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. I'll tell you a bit about him. They say that the sefer that was on his night table when he died, right near his bed, was the Mesilat Yesharim. The Mesilat Yesharim is probably the classic Musar text of the yeshiva world. It was the text that was, it would seem it was Rabbi Saul Salanter who made it well known, but we'll see not. The Vilna Goyim. The Vilna Goyim who lived after him said that if Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato would be alive today, I would walk all the way from Vilna to Italy to learn at his feet. Vilna Goyim. Vilna Goyim. He says that he, when he started studying the Mesilat Yesharim, in the first 8 chapters, he didn't find one single extra word. Every word was perfect, precise, and needed. That's exceptional kind of writing. I did a little. I looked at it at home yesterday. My printer isn't working, so I asked Shira to print out Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Wikipedia. He was born in Padua. He received classical Jewish and Italian educations, showing a predilection for literature at a very early age. He may have attended the University of Padua and certainly associated with a group of students there known to dabble in mysticism. The turning point in Lutzato's life came at the age of 20 when he received direct instruction from a mystic being known as the Maggid. He began to study Kabbalah at a very early age, but he, before that age 20, he knew all of Torah. All of Torah. Everything. His study of Kabbalah at that young age got him into some trouble because this was about 100 years after the profound tragedy of Shabtai Tzvi, where anybody who dabbled in mysticism was already immediately suspect. So he had a great deal of difficulty, and he ended up going to Amsterdam. He was born in 1707, and he died in 1747. He was 39 years old. I don't think he made it to his 40th birthday. And the long list of Sforim that he wrote, unbelievable how a person is able to do all of that. When Lutzato finally reached Amsterdam, from Italy he went to Amsterdam, he was able to pursue his studies of the Kabbalah relatively unhindered, earning a living as a diamond cutter. He continued writing, but refused to teach. It was in this period that he wrote what is his magnum opus, the Mesilat Yesharim, The Path of the Just. He wrote that in 1740, essentially an ethical treatise, but with certain mystical underpinnings. The book presents a step-by-step process by which every person can overcome the inclination to sin and even reach a level of prophecy. Here, they bring it. One major rabbinic contemporary who praised Lutzato's writing was Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna. Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna. There it is. Okay. So I forgot to press record. So you two guys are going to have to give me a copy of this year. Okay. The copies are safe. Fazunken. The Vilna Gaon, who is considered to be the most authoritative Torah sage of the modern era, as well as a great Kabbalist himself, He was reputed to have said after reading the Masilat Yesharim that were Lutzarth was still alive, he would have walked from Vilna to learn at Lutzarth's feet. Vilna is not close to Italy. Wikipedia has to tell us that. Wikipedia, you know, we know where Vilna is and we know where Italy is, but they tell us exactly a distance of 2,050 kilometers. He stated that having read the work, the first eight chapters contained not a superfluous word. This is considered to be one of the highest praises that one sage can grant to another. Lutzarto also wrote poetry and drama, most of it seemingly secular on the surface. It was not secular. His poems and his poetry were all deeply steeped in Jewish thought. And then it was the great Torah editor, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who placed the Masilat Yesharim at the heart of the Muslim. Okay. Let's take our sheets. Well, we're going to read a little bit. Because we're going to have to take a look at nuances. Watch. Let's go. Number one. That's Parshat Chayei Sarah. This we said. Vayikra ha'eved asor gemar migmar yadonav, the servant. By the way, one of the fascinating things about Parshat Chayei Sarah, the most important and significant figure in the whole Parsha is who? Eliezer, the servant of Avram. Eliezer's name does not appear once in the entire Parsha. Consistently called Eved, the servant, or Eved Avram, the servant of Avram. And I believe it's such a beautiful idea. Whatever he does it with the understanding that it is for Avram. And of course, we once discussed the idea that for Eliezer to be able to do this when Eliezer really had a daughter and he wanted to become the mechutn of Avram, but once Avram had rejected his daughter, he's able to set that completely aside and he's going to go out on this mission, and he is going to succeed. Anyway, the servant took 10 camels from his master's camels, and he went to Chol Tov Adon Abiyol, all the wealth of his master. He took great wealth. He got up, and he went to Aram Naharayim, El Ir Nachor, to the city of Nachor, who was the brother of Avram. He made the camels kneel down outside the city near the well, le'et erev, at evening time, le'et seit hashavot, when the girls will go out to fetch water from the well come. It's even significant that he has the camels kneel down outside the city. He doesn't want to come into the city. They'll take a look at Achetaman coming with 10 camels laden with who knows what. They would immediately know this guy's a racha teferman. And then it would sort of be him flaunting Avraham's wealth. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to find somebody who is not at all moved by the idea of gain or profit or money. No. It has to be pure. So, there it is. Vayomar. And as he stands there by the well, he prays. The prayer is very important. Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, God, the God of my master Avram. Hakrei no lefanai hayom. Arrange it for me this day. Vasei chesed em Adoni Avraham. And do kindness with my master Avram. An interesting word, hakrei. Hakrei can usually be used as meaning something coincidental, but he's not asking for anything coincidental. He's asking for something so awesome. And we'll see what it's not mikre at all, unless of course we're talking about an Eliezer whose whole being is nothing is coincidental. And therefore, anything that happens is gone. And think, look what he asks for. It's an impossible thing he asks for. He says, Hine anochi nitzav alein amayim, I'm standing here by the well of the water, benot anshei ho'er yotzot lishof mayim, the daughters of the people of the city are going out to fetch water. V'hoyo anim will come to pass, listen to this, hanaro, the girl asher omar eleh, that I will say to her, hatino kadef eshte, incline your water and give me to drink, and veshte va'omro, she will say shtei, drink, v'gam gemalecho asher, she will say, yeah, you drink, and also your camels. Why in heaven's name should anybody say anything of the sort? 10 big camel riders, grise. Every understand, seasoned and powerful guys, and they expect some girl to go ahead and it's an impossible thing he's asking for. If she's going to say, drink, and also I will give your camels to drink, she is the one who you have arranged, she is the one who is made for your servant. You will have designated for your servant for Isaac. Uboida, and through her I will know Kiyasita Chesed Amadoni, that you have done kindness with my master. What an impossible thing. Vayihi hu terem kilolo daber, and of all things, even before he's finished speaking, vihine, and behold, Rivka yotzeit, Rivka comes out, Asher Yuldol of Betuel ben Milcah, who was born to Betuel, the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Nachor, the father of Avram. Boy, did you hear this whole Yichus over here? Now you have to understand one thing. The Torah is already letting us in on the secret that she's on the Mishpucha. Eliezer doesn't know this yet. Not only that, it may also be significant to know that Avram never told him, go to my family. Go to my city. He didn't tell him, go find the family of Lavan and Betuel. Never said that. Because if he would have said it, then Eliezer shouldn't have stopped by the well. He should have gone into the city and asked, where's the Mishpocha? No. But the Torah is letting us in on a simple secret. You should know that this girl, who he does not even know yet, and who's coming out to him, she is the Mishpucha. Unbelievable. What a story. Not only that, she's attractive, she's pretty. Betula, virgin, v'ishlo yada'a, and no man had known her. And she went down to the spring. She filled up her jargor. Yeah? And she brought it up. The servant ran toward her. And he said, Hagmi'ini nomat mayim kadeh, please give me a little sip of water from your jug. Vatone, and she said, this is unbelievable, Shtei Adoni, drink, my master. Vatamayer, she hurried. Watch that word, Vatamayer, she hurried. Vatodet kadav yada, and she let down the jug. V'tashkei, when she gave him to drink. V'techal l'hashkoto, and she had finished giving him to drink. V'tomer, and she said, Gam l'gemalecho eshov, ad im kilu l'shtot. I will also give your camels to drink, and not stop to drink, until they have completed drinking. Never saw it before, I saw it this year, 2 days ago. Of Shamshon of Paul Hirsch. Oh, it's brought, this Shamshon of Paul Hirsch is brought by Chanan Torat. Through him, I found it. What a beautiful comment that's made here. What was Eliezer's deal with God? The girl of whom I will ask, give me a drink. And she's going to say, you drink. And I'm also going to give all of your camels to drink. That's the one. That's not what she does. Take a look at what she does. She tells him, She tells him, stay Adoni, drink my master, vata maher. She hurries, she takes her jug down, and she gave him to drink. Vata chawa ashkoto, after she had completed giving him to drink, only then does she say, I'm also going to give you camels. That's a very significant thing. I'm going to read a few sentences in Shamshon Mefoharesh. First of all, Vayorot Ha'eved, the servant ran. Not Eliezer, not by the name Eliezer, the servant, in the demeanor of a slave. I'm reading. Hello? You don't have this.
Oh, I see.
There are certain things that only In the demeanor of a slave, he hurried to meet her. He comes running to her as a slave. He begs for just a little water to gulp down. She answers, drink, and adds, my lord, shtei Adoni. My lord, although he stands as a slave before her, but she has respect for every human being. She refers to him as Adoni, my master. And then promptly, step by step, disclosed the woman who was worthy with her Abrahamic feelings to take the place of Sarah. How is she going to show that she's worthy? And here this is a very important. At first, not a word about the camels. She doesn't tell him in advance, here, I'm going to give you a drink, I'm going to give all your camels a drink until it's all there. No. Don't make any promises. Don't start telling us everything you're going to do. You asked for water, she gives him water. At first, not a word about the camels, as Eliezer had hoped. Eliezer had hoped that she would say, what were the words in the pasuk? The girl who I'm going to ask for water, and she's going to say, shtei, drink, the gand malecha ashke, and also your camels. She doesn't say that. She doesn't say what it was that Eliezer had made up with God. Oh, no. Shtei. After he's finished, then she says, Gam Malecha Eshke. At first, not a word about the camels, as Eliezer had hoped. Only when she had completely quenched his thirst did she say, for your camels too I will draw water until they will have completely drunk for their fill. Had Rebecca said this at once, if immediately she would have said what Eliezer wanted to hear from her, stay, drink, the gand malecha eshke, I'm also going to give your camels to drink. Had Rebecca said this at once, a certain trait which characterizes the true gomel chesed and the true Jewish woman would have been missing. She would have been a conceited gossip who likes to make a big talk about her good deeds. You think yes, you need a drink? No, you can drink till you're ungestopft. I'm also gonna fetch for all of your camels. No. And then she does not offer merely to give the camels also a drink. That by itself would already be a quite tiresome task. Just to give each camel a jug full would entail 10 journeys down to the well and 10 drawings up of the bucket. But no, she will draw and fill the whole trough up until all the camels have drunk their fill. Now, of course, he goes on to tell us how much camels drink and all the rest. We're talking about an awesome act of chesed. What? Awesome act of chesed. And then, there's no bragging about her. The fact that she breaks it up into two. Shtei Adoni, master, drink. She waits patiently until he's finished drinking, and only then does she say she's going to bring for the camels. This represents a certain kind of a modesty. And this, of course, is clearly understood. That this chesed is absolutely mad. You understand? This is mad.
If Eliezer knew that she was going to feed the camels, he might have been reluctant to drink as much as he wanted.
He didn't know.
No, but if she had said, I'm going to do your panels also, he would have been reluctant to drink as much as he wanted because it would have been that much harder for her to
run. I'll ask you something else.
Yeah.
If he's reluctant to drink because, for whatever reason, why does he stand there? We'll see in a moment. The man is going to stand there silent while this young girl runs back and forth. Not a word. Silent. What do you mean, so watch? Watch. This will answer your question. Let's go further. She finished giving him the drink and she said, I'm also going to fetch for your camels until they will finish drink. She hurried and she emptied her cud into the trough. She ran, she hurries, she runs to the well, Lishov, Vatishav, and she fetched Mulu the Chol Gemalo for all of his camels. This pasuk, for her ish. Yes?
The story, there are two of them, and they juxtaposed his request and her action.
Yes.
Does this appear in the Torah to obviate the eventual historical question that may come up about free will? God doesn't exert a pressure
on
Rivka, but he gets involved in the scenario, and she seems to act independently of what the request was and what he could have made her do.
Marvin, dear? I don't understand the question. She has free will. Everything that's happening is a result of her free will. If it would not be her free will, then she's no great Barat Chesed at all. She's some kind of a robot. She's nothing. This is all her free will. And she's... It's unbelievable what she's doing. Tireless! But let's see the reaction of Eliezer. The man is astonished. Macharish, he remains silent. Wouldn't it have been appropriate for Eliezer to say, oh no, that's unnecessary. No, you don't have to do that. No, please. You don't have to do that. Wouldn't it have been appropriate for Eliezer to say, thank you very much. You're such a balas chesed.
Yeah.
Nothing. Not a word. Why not? What's he silent about? Macharish. And look what the pasuk says. You know what he's macharish about? Ladad, to know. Hayitzliach Hashem darko lof. God has given him success on that. You kidding me? He's watching this girl running back and forth, fulfilling exactly what he asked God for, and he still has a doubt whether he's successful. What's the pasuk saying? What's he in doubt about now? Rashi and the Ramban say that he was in doubt. He still doesn't know, is she from the family of Avram? In other words, it would seem, according to Rashi and Ramban, that's the last thing that has to fit in to make the picture total. She's Mishpulcha. But wait a minute. I had said earlier, Avram never asked for that. Rashi and Ramban, it's a little schwer. But we're going to see another approach. And this is an approach that's going to bring us straight to the Mesilat Yeshayim. Turn over. No, not yet. Number three, down at the bottom of the page. Quote from the Mesilat Yesharim. The Mesilat Yesharim is talking about Zrizut. Zrizut is zeal. Doing something and doing it with a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. But today you should see, Ki Tevra Ha'adam Kaved Mod. By nature, a man is sort of heavy, weighed down. Not so easy for him to pick himself up and start doing things. Ki afriyot hachomriyot gas. This is because of the grossness which characterizes the substance of earthiness. Man is made from earth. It's heavy, you know. He isn't ready to go running around and conquering the world. Misha, Alkain, therefore, lo yachbotza adam betorach umalacha. Man, therefore, does not want any difficulties, or he doesn't want to work. Misha, rotza, liskos, lavodas, habore, yidbarach, but one who wants to be fortunate enough to be one who really serves the Creator, may he be blessed. Tzarech she'id gaber neged tivo atzmo. He has to be able to fight against that inner nature of his, and he's going to have to take this physical body that likes more than anything else to be at rest and move it. V'id gaber, to become strong, v'iz darez, and to hurry and to move. She'im hu maniach atzmo b'yad kveiduto, if a person permits himself to remain with that natural heaviness, weighed down by the weight of centuries, he's never going to succeed. You have to be able to overcome nature in order to serve God, not turn over. Number four is the Soferno. Chanan Parag brings the Soferno. It's beautiful. Vatamaher. So the Soferno says, Vatamaher, ki hamihirud ba'avodah tamishareit yoreh al hayot enevad nechshav atzlo. The hurrying that a servant does shows that the one whom he is serving is considered extremely important to him. In other words, she is telling Eliezer, you need a drink? You're an important person to me. She does not relate to him as a servant. Vatoratz, and she ran to the well, Ashalifnei HaMa'ayam, Shemimenu Yishtu HaBeimot, she ran to the Be'er, that was right in front of the Ma'ayam is the stream. Now here, this is the pasuk. For ha'ish mishtoi, the man is standing there in astonishment. Mishtomei ma'rov hazrizut la'asot chesed. He's amazed by all of this tremendous zeal and activity to do an act of chesed. Macharish, he remains silent. V'lo amarlo, he didn't say to her, al titrchi kol kach, don't trouble yourself so much, really it's unnecessary. And that's what he should have done. He has to let her run back and forth. No, he doesn't say that to her. Kemosh ha'yod ra'ui b'chok ha'musar. Ethics and morality would have demanded of him that he should say to her, thank you, it's fine, we can do it, we'll take care of it. But no, he remains silent. He doesn't want anything to upset that which will give him a total picture of her. Lodat, why does he remain silent? To know whether he has succeeded, whether God has given him success. And we ask, what's left? What don't you know? What is there about her that you don't know? Ladat, lahakir mitoch ofen chasodeh uzrizuteha. He wants to see from the way in which she does this act of kindness and her zeal. Hahitzliach Hashem dargo. Whether God has given him success. And we ask, what's he talking about? What greater success can you want than this? Watch this. A few words. In yiyal tzad hatov ha'chesed ha'gor. Will all her running back and forth be completely, purely for kindness? In love, maybe not. V'shiyye kol zeh l'tikvat ezeschar. At the end of it all, he's concerned, maybe she's gonna...
A reward.
You know? And Hanan Parat uses one of these words. I don't have to teach you Arabic. Fish masari. In Arabic, is there money? And he describes, you come into a gas station, a kid comes running up and washes your windshield and gives a fish the car, and then when it's all over. If that would have happened in any way, in any kind of way, it would have ruined the totality and the purity of the kindness. That's why he's silent. That's why he's waiting to find out if it was true chesed. Ah, next, number five. The Mesillat Yesharim is talking about tahara, purity. An act of mitzvah has to be pure, without any kind of mixture of personal or other interests. It has to be pure. Omnam, mashat sorach la'adam yoted iyun u'malacha rabba. You know what? It's going to take a great deal of effort and study for a human being who ta'arovet ha'iser, the mixture or the intrusion of something foreign. Dehainu, that is, shalafonim ha'adam ha'olech ha'oseh mitzvah l'shmo mamash. Sometimes a person goes and he does a mitzvah completely to Shem Shomayim. Shekach goes, Aravinu Shabashrayim, this was the decree of our Father in Heaven. Omnam lo yerdam el shatefim ma'eze p'niya acheret, but does not prevent himself thereby from incorporating some other motive. Oshe yishabchu b'nei yadam, either that he be praised by people, oshe yikabel sochor b'ma'aseyu, or that he should receive reward for what he did. You have to know Mesillat Yesharim very well to be able to take this piece of the Mesillat Yesharim and tack it on to the words of the Sefarno, those last few words. Ulefamin afilu lo yeh mitkaven mamish l'shei yishabchu. Even if a person does a mitzvah with absolutely no intent that anybody should praise him, or he doesn't want anything, b'smach libo al hashemach, but if a person is going to hear praise and his heart is going to be happy about it, yarda l'dagdek yoter, he's going to be a little bit more careful when he does the mitzvah, so that they've noticed, lack of purity. It's a great mitzvah, make no mistake, but quite a madrega to reach when there's no reward of any sort that one wants. The Gemara says about the daughter of Chanina ben Trajan. Chanina ben Trajan was one of the Asara Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs. It was Chanina ben Trajan that they wrapped him in a Sefer Torah and burned him at the stake, but they put wet wool on his heart, and he's dying. And the Gemara tells the story of the Roman officer there. He says, Rebbe, if I take off the wet wool, will you guarantee me a place in the world to come? And he says, yes. He went into the fire, he took it off, and then he jumped into the fire himself and died with Rav Chanina ben Trajan. The Gemara says about the daughter of Rav Chanina ben Trajan, Shahaita posa psiot yafot, that she sort of walked. There was something very graceful and very beautiful about the way she walked. The Kevan Sheshama, she heard people saying how beautiful is the way in which she walks. Kama Sheshama Shaonim Kama knows Psiosea Shalibazo, how beautiful that girl walks. Miyam dig the coyote. Immediately she began to be just a little bit more careful about how she walks. How they had tof sefet hazeh, this added part of the walk, nolad mikorach hashevach sheshikua, this was born as the result of the praise. If there would have been any hint from Rivka, fish masari, anything, it would not have been pure. So therefore, that's the Sephorno. He stands in amazement, silent. He wants to know if he has succeeded. Is her chesed pure, untainted, unspoiled, unsoiled by even the slightest bit of some kind of another consideration? That's quite a mistake. So come on, Parat Zevim. We'll see in a number of others. If we don't finish this week, you know, I have a bunch of others. He knew and he understood the Silk Yesharim. Let's go back for a moment to what first side. And I'm taking it back to last week's Seder, Parshas Va'eda, by Yeda. And this is something here, we're moving into a gold right now. It's something that I thought of a few days ago, and it's been blowing my mind ever since. It doesn't take too much to blow my mind. Avram brings in these three dusty, dirty nomads on this very, very hot day. Let a little bit of water be taken. Wash your feet. And lean under the tree. Recline beneath the tree. I will take pat lechem. But by the way, you have to notice the similarities between Rivka and Avraham. Just unbelievable. Rivka, you can get dizzy from her running and hurrying and hurrying back and running down with into up, down, up, run. It's unbelievable. I'm exhausted when I read those so. By Avraham Avinu, we're going to find the same thing. And you know what else you find? Do you want a little water? He says, we're going to give you a little bit of water. A little. Not much. Don't get excited. Ve'echopat lechem. And said, we'll take a little bit of bread. And so this man is going to prepare a suda of Shlomo HaMelech b'shato. A little bread, you understand? Maybe a stickle heaven, don't it? Ve'echopat lechem. Besadu libchem. So that you may, I will fetch a morsel of bread that you may sustain yourselves. Achat harvoru, and afterwards you will go on. And here it is. You know, I'm growing into adulthood, and I don't know how many thousands of times I've said this pasuk. And all of a sudden, I take a second look. I flip out. V'sa'adu libchem. Now, if I would want to tell somebody that, you know, he should, you know, eat well. What's the word that we would have used? V'yachalta? V'savata! Wait a minute, not only that, in shul this morning, also I'm crazy. Every few minutes I had a piece of paper and I was writing things down.
That's also a meal.
Huh?
Seudah.
I know all about it. Except that the word seudah that comes from Sa'ad appears 12 times in all of Tanakh. And Lisboa appears 100 times. Why the choice? That's what I'm asking. And here I'm going from Davin, Potech et Yadecha. Must be Aluchol Chayrotza. You ever take a look on a plane, the petek of kashrus that comes with the meal, it always ends with a part of a pasuk in Tehillim, Yochlu Anovim V'yisbo'u Sivya. So Posech et Yadecha. In Ashrei, and then in one of the Halukot, Hasam Vuleich Shalom Chelet Chitim Yazdiecha. The Brach of Borech Aleinu V'Sabeinu Mituvecha. In Kriyat Shema V'Natati Eisa B'Sodcha V'Yachalto V'Sopota. So why wasn't some word, some form of Sabeinu used? And then, what do you mean, libchem? Why not levavchem? Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between libchem and levavchem? There has to be a difference. So I said the following. There's a big difference between sevia and sa'adu. This is my pshat. Sa'adu represents a great deal more than just giving somebody food to eat. We even have the word in Rashi in Parshat Noach. At the beginning of the parasha, it says, Et ho'elokim hitalech Noach. Noach went with God. And Rashi asks, but by Avram it says, Vayitalech Avram. Avram went. So Rashi says, Avram went on his own. But Noach, Et ho'elokim hitalech Noach with God. Ho'yotzorich sa'ad litoncho. He needed something to lean on. Do you know what sadhu means? Sadhu means that Avraham Avinu was not only concerned about the hunger or the thirst. You had a difficult time. You may have a big journey ahead of you. You may be, emotionally or psychologically in all sorts of other ways. You may be going through a very difficult time. He's not just giving him bread. This is bread that's coming with feeling. Sadhu. Support, strength, energy, encouragement. Go on. Libchem. Levavchem always represents a heart that is in conflict. Levavchem means Yetzahara Yetzatov. Libchem refers to a unity of the heart. There are no conflicts, there are no problems, there are no tzaras. You know what Avraham Avinu is doing? He's not just giving these three unknown bedaviner, as Rav Soloveitchik used to call them, bedaviner, bedwins. He said more, but I'm not going to say the rest of it. Okay? This is a completely different story. Completely different story. Sadhu Libchem is looking at the total human being and what that total human being needs. This is not just us in here, have a little bread and eat, and you feel better. No. It's an awesome idea that is expressed by these two words, the sadhu libchem. And then, of course, I said something else. This you can accept, you cannot accept. You can laugh at me if you want, but at great personal risk. Sa'ad. He's telling these fellows, sa'od. Journey on further. Or sa'ad, journey ad, until you reach where you're going to. He's pashit. He cares about the total human being. Not a matter of simply, all right, that's the guess, okay, machavrucha, go. No. That's chesed. That's chesed. Well, let's take a little bit further of our flow over there. Vayomu king tasek ashi debatu vayimahe. Oh, here we go. Here is Vayimahe Avram, and he hurried. Oh, sorry. Never lose sight of the fact that he's 99 years old. It's on the third day after his bris milah, understand? And meanwhile, he has taken the awesome step of telling the Rabbein Shimon came to visit him to cool his heels and just wait. Take it easy. Rabbein Shimon, just wait. Don't go away. I have something to do right now. Vayomer, he said to her, Mahadi, hurry, shlosin, kemal, suan, asil, el habaka rots, Avram. I'm getting dizzy already again. He runs out to the field, to the cattle. Vagitin el amar, vayimahi el asototo, he hurried. Everybody's hurrying around. That's zrizut. That's how a mitzvah has to be done. You don't do a mitzvah like schlepping around. Zvizut also means that you act as soon as you can. You don't put it off. Wait, you're hungry? Just wait a moment. Are you dying? You're not dying. So wait. I don't know why I remember now. I was visiting somewhere in the southern United States. I want to tell where, because you'll figure out. I don't want you to figure anything out. So the lady of the house asked me if I'd like a cup of coffee. I said, yes. How do you like that? I said, yes. Okay? 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I imagine they planted it and they're waiting for it to grow. 45 minutes later, I get the cup of coffee. And she says to me, Rabbi Gold, you're in the South now. You're in the South, you know. We go about things, fed on, at our little pace of it. Avram and Rivka are the exact opposite of the South. You're in Avram country now. All right, let's go a little further here. And here it's, there's one article written by Hanan Porat, and he gives it a fascinating title. The title is B'negishut, B'nechishut, U'Bizrizut. Now, some of you may recall that the instructions that were given and drummed into the heads of 50,000 soldiers and police before the expulsion from Gush Katif, you have to do it B'negishut, with sensitivity, but B'negishut, with absolute determination. So he says, I know that those words bring back all sorts of unpleasant memories. But you have to understand that when doing a mitzvah, there's also a mitzvah also has to be done pretty gishut, with a sensitivity. By Avram and Rivka, we see a sensitivity that's awesome. But nechishut, they're doing exactly what they have to do. Exactly. And as you find the running here. Number six. The Aru, there it is, it's Mesilat Yesharim again. The Aru, Gemara says, Zrizim Magdimim LeMitzvos. The zealous hurry to do a mitzvah. The Chenonu, the Gemara says, Laorom Yorutz Odom LeDvar Mitzvah, Philo B'Shabbos, a person should always run to do it, Dvar Mitzvah, even on Shabbos. Because, you know, on Shabbos, you know, you Paisin by Psia Kitano, we say in the Zmiris. On Shabbos, you take short steps. You don't jump, you don't life. Ah, but Levar Mitzvah, even on Shabbos, you run. We mentioned Shama, the letter said, Hu Yen Hagenu Al Mut, Posaka Tehillim, it's from Yom Sheni, Bizrizut. The word Al Mut over there means ki'ilu ki'ilain al-ulenta. Almut is from the word elem or alma, young. To move like you're young. Kemodat ama, as it says, betoch alamot tofefot. Girls who are beating the drums. There's a tremendous amount of activity. Ki hazrizut hi midat shleimut gadol asher tivo shel ha'adam mon'o mimenu ato. Zrizut, the zeal, is an extremely high level of spiritual development that man by nature seems to withdraw, try to fight it. Umishim et gaber, the tofez bo kol mashu yuchal, the person who is able to strengthen himself and get a handle on himself with zrizut. Hine la'atid lavo yizke lo be'emet. The reward that Rabbi Hashem is going to give that person is that this result will begin to come naturally to him. He won't need that tremendous effort to get going. Ah, my hero, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You know, my hero, that was Richard Nixon who said. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You understand? You have to be tough to do a mitzvah with Jesus. And the reward is going to be Asher Habori Yibarach Yitnelo Staro Chelech Mashi Shtadel Acharev Izman Avodato. God, there's a beautiful sentence. The Creator, blessed be He, will give it to him as a reward for that which he did, for having striven toward it to be a Zaris. At the time that he serves God, it's going to become part of his very nature. The... Let's keep reading. Nothing can beat a Mesila Kishonim. Chaim Tinsa, you will find Kol Masim Shal Tzadikim Tomid Demihidot. Whatever the Tzadikim do, they're always doing it as they move quickly. Avram Kotubbo. By Avram it says, Vayimaher Avram Ha'ol El Sora, Vayom El Mahavi, Vayitin El Anah Vayimaher. That's very, very nice. Yeah, so he has most of the places where it says, and Avram hurried to the tent of Sarah, and he said to her, hurry and make the bread. And then he gave to the boy, and he hurried, Rivka, Vatimahe, Vatar Kadosh, Vachin Nomer Bemedrish, Vatimahe Rishah, Melamech Kol Masem Shal Tzadikim and Mehidot. Whatever Tzadikim do, it's done with haste. Asher lo yitnu hefsek zman lo el hatcholat hamitzvah v'lo el hashlamata. They don't allow a pause in time before they begin the performance of the mitzvah, and they don't permit a pause in time in middle of the mitzvah that will delay its completion. The mitzvah has to be done completely from beginning to end with a real acheshek, a zeal. The Tira, and you see Shehadam Asher Talahit Nachshov Avodat Vodo, that a person who burns, his soul burns in the service of the Creator, Vadar Shelo Yitatzel Ba'asiyat HaMitzvotav, he will never be lazy or idle in the performance of mitzvahs. Ele Tiyet Tnuato Kitnuat Ha'esh HaMira, his movement is going to be like fire. Ki lo yonuach v'lo yishkot ad im ki lo hadavar l'hashlimo. He will not rest, nor will he remain idle until he completes it. You know where he took these words from? When Ruth comes home from her journey into the field, and she had met this fellow Boaz. So the first time comes back, she tells him, you know, he's Mishpucha. She goes a second time into the field. Oh, she sends her down to the silo to see him at night. And then he tells her that he appreciates the fact that she didn't go after the young fellows and she came to him. So she comes back and she reports that things are moving. This is a shidduch, mamish, made in heaven. There's no Eliezer over here. It's a shidduch made in heaven, Ruth and Boaz. And she says to Ruth, sit back. This man is going to do it. Ad asher ki lo hadavar. He's not going to rest until he completes it. He does the whole thing. And what did it say over here by Rivka? She said to him, Gamli gemalecho ashav, I'm also going to give to your camels, ad in kilu lishtot, until the way of completed. The person who acts with zvizos lets no time lapse between the moment that he can fulfill the mitzvah and the beginning of the mitzvah, and permits no pause in the middle until the mitzvah is completely finished. All right, we have a great deal more to do, but so the shir, as we said, first of all, was Lezecha Nishmas. Meir Kahana, and I devoted it to Hanan Korach. Hanan Korach was a great leader. Klal Yisrael owes him a debt, and he was a man, you don't expect somebody who doesn't have a beard and wears a kippah sugah to be a man of Mesilas Yisharim. Mesilas Yisharim would seem to indicate, some extremely pious individual. But he was pious. He may not have looked it on the outside, but he was an extremely pious and sensitive individual and did great things for Klal Yisrael. To be continued in Yitzhak. How come he gave me a